Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2013, and today, for the first time in several days, we are not going to talk about scandal. No, we are going to talk about something entirely different. We're going to talk about prayer. What could be better than prayer? Who could be against prayer? Well, a lot of people, apparently. In fact, they are so against it that they often bring a lawsuit against people that pray in public. And that's what we have here today, the case of Greece versus Galloway, the town of Greece, New York, which is located right outside of Rochester, New York, had a tradition that they started in 1999 of praying before their public town hall meetings. They would invite a minister to come over to the town hall meeting and recite a prayer before their meetings. That started, as I said, in 1999. Well, in 2008, they were sued. They were sued by Americans United for separation of church and state. They sued the town on behalf of two local residents named Susan Galloway and Linda Stevens. These two ladies felt that the public prayer recited before the town hall meetings was unconstitutional. Defending the town, the attorneys from the Alliance Defending Freedom and also the lead counsel Thomas Hunger of the D.C. law firm of Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher, those lawyers represent the town. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear this case, and that case will be heard in October. The court last ruled on a case like this in 1983, that was a case of Marsh versus Chambers. No member of the current court was on the court in 1983, so we don't know exactly how they feel about these things. The court in Marsh upheld an opening prayer in the Nebraska State Legislature by relying on the tradition of opening prayers that Congress has followed since the founding era. That's the U.S. Congress, since the founding era, has opened with prayer. And the Marsh decision had stood until now. All these people, lower courts, routinely relied on it and stayed away from cases like this or just said no. The U.S. Supreme Court has signed off on this. But despite the Marsh decision, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the town of Greece's prayer was unconstitutional. They said, and I quote, "A legislative prayer practice that, however well-intentioned, conveys to a reasonable, objective observer, under the totality of the circumstances, an official affiliation with a particular religion, violates the clear command of the First Amendment's Establishment Clause." Let me take a minute and read the First Amendment to you, folks. It says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." Well, that's what the amendment goes on and says some other things, but that's what it says about religion. "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." And the Second Circuit Court of Appeals said that this thing that the city of Greece, the town of Greece, New York, was doing violated the Establishment Clause. It was an establishment of religion, favoring the Christian religion, in other words. Well, the Alliance Defending Freedom lawyers countered that by saying, no, the founders prayed while drafting the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and the Supreme Court has ruled that public prayer is part of the history and traditions of this country. There is absolutely nothing wrong with this, they said. It's part of our history and tradition. Well, the problem I have with the history and tradition argument, I mean, I'll take it. It's better than nothing, but it reduces prayer to nothing, to something meaningless. It's just a tradition that we follow, kind of like the way you stand or where you sit or something like that. But anyway, it's certainly better than nothing. Well, the lower courts follow this tradition, as I said before, until now. And they are now faced, the U.S. Supreme Court, with this issue that is before them. And the issue is whether the Court of Appeals erred in holding that a legislative prayer practice violates the Establishment Clause, notwithstanding the absence of discrimination in the selection of prayer givers or forbidden exploitation of the prayer opportunity. Well, what they're saying there is that the issue is, should it be legal even though only Christian ministers were invited to pray? There was no discrimination. They didn't invite a Muslim 1 week and some other faith the next week and a Christian the next week. No, it was always Christians. And is this still legal? This is the issue presented by, to the court. Well, how should we think about this? How do I think about it? Well, to answer that, I'm going to go back to the Marsh decision, the one that was conducted by the court in 1983. It ruled this constitutional. And here's what they said. It kind of sums it up for us. It says, it can hardly be thought that in the same week members of the first Congress voted to appoint and to pay a chaplain for each house and also voted to approve the draft of the First Amendment for submission to the states, they intended the Establishment Clause of the Amendment to forbid what they had just declared acceptable. Clearly, the men who wrote the First Amendment religion clauses did not view paid legislative chaplains and opening prayers as a violation of that amendment, for the practice of opening sessions with prayer has continued without interruption ever since that early session of Congress. This unique history leads us to accept the interpretation of the First Amendment draftsman, who saw no real threat to the Establishment Clause arising from a practice of prayer similar to that now challenged. Well, that is good enough for me, folks, and that is the way I look at it. This case will be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court in October, as I may have mentioned earlier. This is going to be an interesting decision. The court can rule. It could be the court's decision to take this case could be interpreted as an indication that the court is preparing to make some broad sweeping pronouncement on religion in the public sphere. But it could also just be understood of their intent to focus just on the specific facts of this particular case. We will see. Time will tell, and we will see whether the U.S. Supreme Court and its almighty omnipotence is going to allow us to continue to pray in public, or whether they will pronounce upon us that we can no longer seek God's blessing on our public meetings. We will see, folks, but that's the way I see it. Wednesday, May 22nd, 2013. Until next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.